are an opportunity for upgrade. Did you hear me?
That's right.
Do you hear me? Times of testing is an opportunity for upgrade. Consider yourself blessed if you're being attacked by the enemy right now. Because he does not want the people of God to receive their inheritance. He does not want the people of God to come into a place of upgrade. Because he's terrified of you. Do you hear me? He's terrified of you. That's why he came so strongly against the Hebrews in Egypt. The thing of it is, when you've come out of bondage, we have a tendency to think like slaves. But God wants us to come into a place of freedom. He is desiring a wedding. He is desiring right now the wedding supper of the Lamb. He is desiring to be in covenant with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think it's interesting that a couple times already I've heard, I just want to be married. And it's more than once that I've heard this. I just want to be married. And can I tell you, that's the heart of God right now for His bride.
Amen. That's right.
You got to know that. Your bridegroom desires that relationship. He desires to be married to His people. He desires to be Lord of your life. Come on.
That's right.
This is an opportunity. And the devil is ticked off because God is moving. He is moving in power and might. And He's calling His bride back to the place of being married to Him. Amen. That's
right.
An exciting thing.
Yes.
It's an exciting thing. And He's answering those prayers. And He's calling us into a place of intimacy right now. Who would have thought that He could have stopped the world? Who would have thought? Do you see the times? Do you have ears to hear? And do you have eyes to see what God is doing? Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." Come on.
Come on.
"Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
Woo.
I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments.
Yes.
I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage.
They did not hear Moses. They did not hearken unto Moses. They could not hear Moses' voice. Because they were short in spirit. And because of their bondage. Please don't forget that. That's where we're going to go today. But I just want to say a couple things. First of all, this came to me during worship practice today. And I mentioned to it. But I say all to those not only in this room, but the many of you that are watching online, we bless you. And once again, we welcome you into the house of the Lord. But I was reminded, and it's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, where Moses is basically at his wit's end. He can't handle all this. He gets advice from Jethro that he needs some help. God tells him to appoint 70 elders. He says, "I'll put some of the spirit that's on you. I'm going to put it on them." And I'm going to pick that story up here. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 25. It says, "The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses, and he took of the spirit that was on Moses and placed the same upon the 70 elders. It had happened when the spirit rested upon them that they began to prophesy." Although they didn't do it again, it says. But two of the men who had remained in the camp, they were a little slow getting to the meeting, I think. They just, they must not have set their alarm clocks. The name of the one was Ildad, and the name of the other was Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those who listed, but they had not gone out to the tabernacles, yet they prophesied in the camp. The focus is this. Even though they weren't there at the meeting, the Spirit of God rested upon them where they were. And I want to encourage you at home that the Spirit of God, if you're willing to allow Him to speak to you today, to enter in, the Spirit will rest upon you even if you're not at the meeting. Amen? Yeah, amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, the question that we're asking today is, can you hear me? Can you hear me? This will be at least one message, if not two, and sometimes even more as we move on. But I want to say that's the question of the day. Can you hear me? People couldn't hear Moses' voice. They had their focus. Things were, their mind was elsewhere. They couldn't hear the voice of Moses, which in reality were the words of God. Much of this has to do with communication. Much of this has to do with who are you listening to? And as we go through this message, I hope you'll be able to pick that up. Who are you listening to? Where's your communication from? Where do you receive your information from? I touch on these once in a while because I enjoy them a great deal. They're newspaper headlines. They're newspaper articles and headlines that were actually printed. They actually found them online. They actually have the print. It's not that somebody made them up. It's the actual printed headline. Here's one that I like. Homicide victims rarely talk to police. I thought that was quite insightful. This one I love. They have a lady's picture here. She got arrested. It says, "Psychic arrested again. She didn't see it coming." I thought that was really good. Another one says, "Most earthquake damage is caused by shaking." Thought that, okay, got that. I love this one, please. I hope it's not insensitive. It says, "Midget sues grocer, cites belittling remarks." I mean, come on, right? "Found dirty white dog, looks like a rat. It's been out a while, no collar. There better be a reward." This one I thought was funny. "Typographical error, they're saying we mixed this up and now they're apologizing. Due to a typing error, Saturday's story on the local artist John Henninger mistakenly reported that Henninger's bandmate Eric Landy was on drugs. The story should have said that Landy was on the drums." Here's a headline. The woman, she was a councilwoman in Los Angeles. I actually looked online. She was that. Her name is Laura Chick. Laura Chick. And she was upset. She accused the men that were on the panel with her of sexism. And here's the article that appeared in the newspaper. It said, "Chick accuses some of her male colleagues of sexism. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable at times, but that's what was printed. Now, I've said all those things to say this. Sometimes I will start a little bit light. And if you study public speaking, the recommendation is you start out with the joke. Why? So people will listen. You know that. People will get at ease. They'll get comfortable. It'll start the communication going. They'll perk up their ears a little more. And I think that's fine. I don't always make it my practice. Sometimes, especially during, like, maybe during the Easter, the resurrection season, I've avoided calling it Easter. You may have noted because I just haven't. It's my own thinking. But the resurrection season, it's such a special time that I don't really joke around much. But the purpose of those jokes for public speakers is this. Again, is to gain the attention, to gain the ear of the audience. That's where I've gone with all these things. And so my question to you again is, can you hear me? Can you hear me? We just sang the song, and I really appreciated Pastor Sherry spending time and having us spend time in the All I Need Is You song. I thought it was so important for us, for this day, for this time, this situation, the circumstances that we are in as a church, that we are in as the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as the nation, as the world. As the world is gripped in some ways by fear. And I would say that those that know Jesus Christ have no reason to fear. All I need is you. But my question to you is, can you hear me? What is your source? What is your source? What do you listen to? That's again, as we go through this message and probably this series, the question, please keep in the back of your mind, can you hear me? What are you listening to? The verse there that Pastor Sherry just read moments ago in Exodus chapter 6, the key verse is Exodus chapter 6, verse 9. And I want to reread it here again. So Moses spoke thus. He told, God had given Moses these commands, these encouraging words. He says, now take these to the house of Israel. They took them to the house of Israel. Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses. Say that with me. But they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency is the word. But the true word there, it's probably in many of your margins, is shortness of spirit. Their impatience. Their impatient spirit. They did not hear Moses. They didn't heed his word because of their impatient spirit and the cruel bondage. In fact, the word there, listen. They did not listen or they did not hearken unto Moses' word. In the Hebrew, the word is shama, shama. And the word means this. In fact, it'll help you if you're taking notes at home. It means to hear, to listen, and then obey. Say that with me. It means to hear, to listen, and to obey. In fact, many people are hearing my voice right now, but they're not listening. I'm just being frank. I know what it's like. I'm not saying I'm always paying attention to what's going on if somebody's speaking, but what I'm saying is some people are hearing my voice, but they're not listening to my voice. And if I'm bringing the Word of God, they're not going to be prepared to obey the voice of the Word of God because they're not listening. They're just hearing. It's just become sound. So I ask you a question again. What are you listening to? What are you listening to these days? And I will say this. Sometimes I struggle when I'm putting a message together. I often kind of reveal my heart to you. Sometimes I struggle saying, okay, Lord, once I finally am convinced that this is the direction I want to go, I'll sit there with my pad and paper, and it's not uncommon for me for there to sit for hours and write nothing down. And convinced that this is the direction, and I end up saying, God, come on. And Monday goes to Tuesday to Wednesday, and finally it begins to pour. This was not the case with this message. I couldn't keep up. I had page after page. So I'm going to try to summarize that. I hope it comes in a meaningful order. Are you listening? Can you hear me? So here's the circumstance. In fact, if I were to summarize the passage of Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, the people grew short in spirit. They grew impatient with God's promises or waiting for God's promises based on circumstances. Based on the here and now. God had promised them this. He had promised them that. The word came from Moses. And now, all of a sudden, in fact, I need to catch you up. I want to do it very briefly. But as I move forward, I want you, if you're taking notes, here's the first note you might want. We must be able to hear correctly. Take you back. Chapter 6, verse 9. The people did not hearken unto Moses' voice. Hearken means, remember, to hear, to listen, to obey. We must be able to hear correctly. Do you know, many of you think you hear with your ears. You don't hear with your ears. You hear with your brain. And that's, you know, you're thinking, well, okay, Don, everybody knows that. No, most people don't. Your hearing is not out here. Your hearing is in your brain. This is a mechanism. It's sending signals to your brain, but you hear with your brain. I did some research on this, and I mean, okay. Well, that's not maybe the greatest revelation, but I think there's some interesting things in here. And so, what we use, in fact, we husbands, generally speaking, are accused of having what, wives? Selective hearing. Very good. You all knew that. You all get an A. All the women that are here, there's not many, but you all get an A. We're accused of selective. But what I want to tell you, the way we hear is selective hearing. Right now, the furnace is running. You could be listening to the furnace, but I'm hoping that you're putting that out. But your brain will hear that. In fact, everybody listen. Do you hear it? You can still hear it even while I'm talking, right? It's here. So what I'm saying is we all use selective hearing. It's just the way it's the way our brain works. So we're going to tell our brain right now, in this case, I want you to ignore that background humming. I want you to listen to the man who's bringing the Word of God. Selective hearing. We have to filter out background noise to hear correctly. And do you also know that people that have very healthy ears still have trouble listening to conversations? Did you know that? If somebody has trouble hearing, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with their ears necessarily. It means that they're possibly, and in fact for us as we get older, it gets worse, and sometimes it's in our brain. Our brain isn't able to gather that data, pick it up, process it correctly, quick enough, at the right speed. That's how we hear. So there's many things that affect the hearing. Okay, so I'll pause on the physiology lesson for now. We're going to talk more about hearing, but understand, I want to catch you up on what's taken place, what led up to this. Please don't think this is the first time that Moses came to the people. It's not. So Moses has an encounter at the wilderness, at the burning bush. We know that. I can spend a lot of time there. He kind of argues with God. God says, it's funny because God says, I have come down to save these people. And I bet you Moses is thinking, this is going to be great. He set a bush on fire. It's not even consumed. Man, this is amazing. He's telling me who he is. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to come. And Moses is probably getting ready to fold his arms and say, you go, God. And finally, God says to Moses, therefore, I'm sending you. I'm surprised Moses didn't say, it says up here in verse 10 that you are coming to deliver your people. And God would say, I am. I'm going to deliver people through you. I'm going to use you. So Moses has that encounter, and then he has the miraculous, the incident with the staff. Moses says, what do you have in your hand? Or God says, what do you have in your hand, Moses? I got a staff, throw it down, turns into a snake, and so on. Put your hand in your bosom, come out, it's leprous, put it in again, come back, it's perfectly clean. He said, I'm going to use these miracles, you're going to show them. And some of these things, I think, are good reminders to us all. He says, take them back, and you think he says, take them back and show them to Pharaoh, right? Well, he does, but he says, take him back first and show him to your people. That they're going to know I'm concerned about them. And here's the miraculous part. Oh, I'll tell you what, I could stop there for a while because, you know, we can talk all day long with good word. And the word of God is powerful. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise God. But I'll tell you, it's the miraculous power of God that gets people's attention. Anything other than that is just, they're going to debate, well, this is a book, it's an old book, we don't know who wrote it, blah, blah, blah. I've heard every argument that's out there. It's a true book. But anyway, so he gets this power, and then he goes to the people. In fact, I'm going to read, if you have your Bibles, I'm just flip back to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 31. Moses gets, Aaron comes out and meets him, they go back to Egypt. They go back to Egypt together, and Aaron probably calls all the elders together and say, okay, get this. My brother Moses, you know, he's been gone for 40 years. He's back. He had an encounter with God on the mountain, and he showed me some amazing things. Let him show it to you. God, Moses, show him that staff. And he throws it down, turns into a snake, pick it up, comes back into a stick. He says, Moses says, watch this. And he puts his hand there, and sure enough, it comes out leprous, puts it back, it's healed. And the people are amazed because chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 31. I want to read their reaction. Remember, we've been studying verse 6. This is just two chapters before. So the people believed. Say that with me. So the people believed. And when they heard that the... So when they heard, they could hear. Up until this point, they could hear. They could hear the word of Moses, and they heard that the Lord was concerned about them, about the sons of Israel, and they had seen that he had seen their affliction, and then they bowed low and they began to worship. Wow. They were so blessed. They were so touched. They were so tired of the generations that were under the cruel bondage of Pharaoh. And they wanted to have their own nation. They knew what their father Abraham had been promised. That his seed would be greater than the sands of the seashore or the stars in the sky. You promised them a land, and here we are 400 years later. But there's no land. We're not free. We're in bondage. And they were blessed. They started to worship. Chapter 5, fast forward now. Moses says, okay, people are happy. They're worshiping God. They can hear. Moses gave them a hearing test. They could still hear. Praise the Lord, up until this point. Chapter 5, Moses goes to Pharaoh. He says, God, the Lord God of Israel has said to let my people go 3 days out into the wilderness. They're going out. Our God has called us to go worship him. Pharaoh turns to him and says, I don't think so. That's my translation. I don't think so. You're just being lazy. You're just trying to get your people out of work. And but so you know, and again, it's important to study scriptures. Moses doesn't show any miracles to Pharaoh at this point. He has this encounter with Pharaoh, but no miracles. And Pharaoh says, I don't think so. I think you're just trying to get your people out of work. And you know what? I'm going to make it more difficult on you. Because of your obstinance, I am going to take away the straw. It had been my people had made, given them straw so your people could make bricks. Guess what? You get your own straw. I'm going to make your work harder. Oh, and by the way, the quota of bricks that we expected to build our nation, don't let it drop or you're going to be sorry. And so then the word went out by the taskmasters, and they told these leaders of the Hebrews, hey, no more straw, go get your own. You got to work double hard now. You get your straw and you make the bricks. And when they didn't produce, they got beat. So now the elders are not happy with Moses. And they're not happy with this God, even though they saw the miracle of the staff and they saw the miracle of the leprous hand. That wasn't doing it for them anymore. They got upset with Moses. Things went from bad to worse. In chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, I want to read it to you. Because the people basically said, you have made us odious. You know what odious means? It sounds like the word odor. You know why? You've made us stink. You made us stink in the nose of our taskmasters. You made us smelly. And they're upset. They're not happy with Moses. They're not happy with Aaron. They're not happy about this promise of this God who's supposed to come and deliver us. It's getting worse. Chapter 5, verse 22, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to my people? Why did you ever send me, ever since I came to Pharaoh, to speak in your name? He has done harm to this people, and thou hast not delivered thy people at all. Church, it got worse. Things got worse. Circumstances got worse. Not even of the people's making. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then, say it with me, then. It wasn't until after they're already in bondage, and now things got worse. Do you think right now, if I was to ask most of our country, most of the church, do you think things are a little worse right now than they were 2 months ago? They probably would say, yeah, things are getting really bad. And some people are saying, yeah, things are getting bad. Where's God? And all of a sudden, their attention is focused on the problem. It's focused on the circumstances. And they've forgotten to focus their ears and their mind. They can no longer hear the voice of God. Boy, I'll tell you. Oh. God says, then the Lord said to Moses, now. Say that with me. Now. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Now you're going to see. And Moses, again, he did it right the first time. He didn't do anything wrong. He did what God told him to do, and things got worse. Things started to spiral down. Circumstances got worse. And God says, now I'm going to show you something. Now let's see what happens. In fact, just read with me here. I'm going to just touch on, I have them underlined in my Bible. Chapter 6, verse 1. God says, now you will see. Chapter 6, verse 6. God says, I am the Lord. God says, I will bring you out. God says, I will deliver you from their bondage. God says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Verse 7, I will take you from my people. I will be your God, and you will know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 8, and I will bring you to the land which I swore to Abraham for a possession. I am Lord. God is revving up. He's revving up. He's given Pharaoh the opportunity. And some would say, well, you know, it's even, in, I think it's in Romans chapter 9, you know, that he talks about he hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, did Pharaoh have a choice? Yeah, God only hardened the heart that was already hard towards him. In fact, it's the same for all of us. My Bible says that today is the acceptable day of salvation. Because there comes a time, for whatever circumstance or whatever reason, that we are no longer possibly able to hear the voice of God. God says, today's your day. Do not wait till tomorrow. Well, Pharaoh had his opportunity. He rejected it. And God says, and this is the end. I'm going to harden his heart. He's had his chance to listen. He had his chance to obey the God of Israel. He's denied that opportunity. And now his time is done. It's over. So that leads us, Moses brings all these things to people. God's concerned about us. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Verse 9, Moses spoke to the sons of Israel all these words, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their shortness of spirit, their cruel bondage. They couldn't hear because they were looking at the wrong thing. Do you know that? They couldn't hear because they couldn't see. Oh, they could see the problems, they could see the circumstances, and they started listening to the voice of Pharaoh over the voice of God. They lost their focus. Okay, I'll tell you, the point is this. I thought this was pretty interesting. So there's a voice of God coming through Moses. Moses has already proved himself, and he's already proved God through the miracles. They knew something, but all of a sudden, the present circumstances got them sidetracked, and they began to focus on their cruel bondage, and they began to listen to the voice of Pharaoh. Get back to work. I'm going to make your life harder. Your life is going to get more difficult. And now they're listening to the wrong voice. They're listening to the wrong voice. They can hear, but they're listening to the wrong thing. Do you know you cannot listen to two things at once? Do you know that? It's a fact. Now again, you can have two people carrying on a conversation, and what your brain, if you're trying to focus on both, let me back up. When you're ever on the phone talking to somebody, trying to listen, and somebody in the room comes to you, and they say, tell them that I need to get my car washed today, and I need to pick up a pound of salami. Right? Did that ever happen to you? How does that work for you? Like, it doesn't work very good because you're going to have to say, you know what, hang on a second. My wife is trying to tell me something. And you put the, am I right? Am I making sense here? Are you hearing me? You cannot listen. We cannot listen to two things at once. In fact, okay, so here it is. Here's the article. It's called, Why You Can't Listen to Two People Speak at Once. It says this, our brains have a bottleneck for speech perception. Researchers from the University of Maryland came to this conclusion after scanning 28 people's brains in a party scenario as they listened to two different speakers. Their brains kicked in as normal to listen to the first speaker, but appeared not to even recognize the second person's speech as words. We can't listen to two messages. We can't listen to the hope that is within us. We can't listen to the promises of the Word. We can't listen to the voice of God. We can't get in our prayer closets and listen to His voice when we're busy listening to CNN. We're busy listening to MSNBC. We're busy listening to ABC, NBC, CBS. We're busy listening to the politicians try to tear down everything they can possibly tear down. You cannot listen to both. You can't. It's impossible. They're listening to Pharaoh. They're listening to the taskmaster's voice. And their focus was on the wrong thing. And God had already proven himself to them. Boy. Pharaoh said, I will not let the people go. They were listening to the voice of Pharaoh, and they can't hear God. We must, church, we have to be able to hear correctly. We have to decide. We have to decide, is the word true? Or is the TV true? Are the promises that are in this word true, or are the promises of the politicians true? Or maybe the condemnation of the politicians is true. We have to decide. It's like Elijah on Mount Carmel, that he was trying to tear down Jezebel, but the people were starting to go listen to Jezebel because she affected their creature comforts. And finally, Elijah has had enough, and he comes up to the people on Mount Carmel. He says, how long are you going to limp between two opinions? You got one leg, it's too short, and you're limping around. You're trying to get on this leg, and you're trying to get on that leg. You're trying to do what God says. You're trying to listen to the world. He says, how long are you going to limp on two opinions? If Baal is God, then go serve him. And if God is God, then you go serve him. No man can serve two masters, my Jesus says. No man can serve two masters, none. And we get in this dichotomy of get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of this truth, a little bit of that truth. And that's where the people were. Church, we must be able to hear correctly. And it's a choice. What are you going to focus on? What are you going to listen to? The next point, we must want to hear. We must want to hear. Okay? Remember, the word listen, chapter 6, verse 9, it's they did not hearken to Moses' voice. It means they can need to hear. And then what's the second point? They need to listen and then obey. Okay? They needed to listen. Okay? We must want to hear. And that's why if you've come into the house of the Lord today, you've come to hear a message. That's why you're able to tune into this message rather than the furnaces when they kick on. Because your focus is on what you want to hear. We've made a decision. The question is, what are we listening to out in the public? What are we listening to in our time? Are we listening to the voice of God and the truth of God? We just finished the resurrection season, I call it. Easter is Ishtar. You know, I'm not condemning anybody. Everybody calls it Easter. I'm not saying it's a sin. Easter is derived from Ishtar, the pagan goddess of fertility. The female deity, and that's why I don't like to use it. I try to avoid it. That's just me. You don't offend me when you say Easter. I just want to clear that up. It's okay. I love you guys. It's okay. Call it what you want. Got your resurrection eggs, right? But we must want to hear. Back to the selective hearing. The people could not hear the voice of Moses. They could not hear the promises of God because of their cruel bondage. And so their focus was shifted from the truth of the promise of the Lord to what their circumstances were. That's what's taking place in our nation. I'll just talk about our nation. That I believe so many are just distracted from the circumstances. Because some people say, oh, what's going to be the outcome of this? I told somebody the other day, in fact, I'm going to talk about money here in just a little bit, just in passing. But I was talking to somebody the other day about the market, and I said, let me tell you what about the market. I says, my belief is this, that your money is going to all come back, and you're going to do better. I said, the only way that it's not going to take place is if this is a precursor to Jesus' return and the rapture of the church, which could happen any day. So if you see things go into tank, you got it from me. My personal belief is this, that's a clear sign that Jesus is coming sooner than we could have ever expected. It's a win-win. Either stock market's going up or I'm going up. How's that sound? You can take that to the bank. You can take that to the bank. Either the market's going up or I'm going up. It doesn't make any difference. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying there won't be some struggles. Wow. I got a 401k like many of you. You know what? I got back half of what I lost already. If you sold your stock, this is free. If you sold your stocks on March 23rd, I pity you. And you can say, "Oh, wait, Don, because if it goes down 50% next month, you're gonna look pretty bad." Yeah, you're right. You know, nobody knows. So, my confidence is not my deferred comp, right? Or my 401k. My confidence is here. Praise the Lord! Wow, it is. It is, man. My hope is in the Lord. Whew. They had selective hearing. And by the way, selective hearing, selective hearing, and for people that can't hear in their brains, our general response is to speak a little louder. Guess what? It doesn't work. If people are not able to listen for whatever reason, it's not going to help them to get louder. I remember one of my coworkers one time stopped a vehicle full of illegal immigrants. And they're trying to, and they had no translator. And so the one guy started, the officer started raising his voice, not out of anger, but he started raising his voice to try to make his point. And his partner says, "Roger, they're not deaf. They just don't understand." Like, it doesn't do any good. It was so funny. It doesn't make any good. It doesn't do any good to speak louder. In fact, sometimes it helps, it says, to speak slower, softer. Elijah was in the circumstances of his life. He had done all that he could to tear down. His one mission in his life was to tear down the Jezebel altar and glorify the God of heaven. That was his. And when he did all that he felt that he could, and he killed the pagan prophets, Jezebel's still on the throne as the queen. And she was going to take his life, and he runs to the mountain of God, and God comes, and he's having this conversation with God. He's in this cave, and it says, now God says, "Now go show yourself outside the cave. I'm going to reveal myself to you." And it says the wind came. The wind was so powerful, it was tearing the rocks apart. And then after the wind, a great earthquake. And then after the great earthquake, the mountain was on fire, and he's still in the cave. Why? Because he can't hear, and he doesn't want to get out in that stuff. But finally it says, the voice, gentle blowing, passed by. The voice of God. And guess what? Now he comes out and he's ready to hear. Because God is ready to speak slow. He's ready to speak soft. And he says, "Let me tell you something, Elijah. What are you doing here, prophet? Ah, God, it's been really hard. You know, I feel like I'm the only one left. You know, I've been obedient to you, and they've torn down your altars, and they've done everything that's bad, and I'm the only one that's left." Finally, God says, and I believe it was still in that soft voice, he says, "Go your way. Go your way, prophet. And you go back up north where you came from. I have an assignment for you. I have many assignments for you. You go find Hazael, and you anoint him king over Aram to the north, because I have plans for them to come and judge my pagan country. I said, you go anoint Jehu in Israel, the Hebrew, because he's going to deal with Jezebel. And then you go and you find Elisha, and you anoint him in your place, because whoever escapes the hand of Hazael, I'm going to sick Jehu on him. And whoever escapes Jehu, that Elisha will deal with him. But yet I have 7,000 prophets in this land that have not bowed their knee to Baal, and they have not kissed his image. Don't ever think you're alone, ever." But you had to listen to the soft voice. Sorry, I'm out of breath. I think I'm putting weight on during this time. All I do is read and eat. It seems like, praise the Lord for warmer weather and get outside. But back to the point. The point is the people were not able to hear. They focused their listening attention. They went from the promise of God to the problem of Pharaoh. They went from the future deliverer who is God to the current difficulties. They shifted their eyes from the all-knowing when to the circumstances where the future outcome is unknown. Those were good. I made those up. And I'll tell you what, they're important. They're important. They focused on the promise. They should have been focused on the promise. They went to the problem. They should have looked to the future deliverer. They went to the current difficulties. They shifted their eyes from the one who knows all to the circumstance where the outcome is unknown. They're worried about not knowing. They should be knowing the one who wrote the word of God and gave the word to Moses that performed the miracles. In fact, I told you that they, in chapter 4, verse 31, where the people says, when they heard that the Lord is concerned about them, what did they do? They bowed down and worshipped. Guess what? Their worship was ruined. They went from worship to worry. They went from worship to worry. You can't, they're not going to worship God anymore. Sure, you can come to God if you're worried and say, "God, I'm committing this to you." They weren't even thinking about God. They were thinking about the cruel bondage and the circumstances. And so what happened was, in fact, it's the one that we often will talk about in this house. It's not just a New Testament principle, that there was this, that what we call the Python spirit, began and came to choke the hope out of them, began to choke the belief out of them and the faith out of them and the Word of God out of them. And they began to look at the circumstances. And that python spirit, it's found in the book of Acts chapter 16. You know the story well about the girl who was delivered from the python spirit. Because the python spirit, when Paul and Silas were in jail, wants to wrap itself around them as it does to believers so many times. And the python spirit is not going to eat you. It's going to crush you. It's going to take your breath. And in fact, it's the, you know, we all think it's our lungs that make us breathe. And if you know your anatomy, it's not true. It's your diaphragm. And once you begin to let the air out, if the python spirit has grasped you, guess what? You can't breathe beyond where you went. And then when you breathe out again, and then it's going to wrap itself a little tighter. And it's a downward spiral. It's a python spirit. And it had the people of Egypt, just like it has so many in the church today. They can no longer breathe the breath of God. We love that song in this house, the breath of God, the mighty breath of God. But I see a church so many times that is so wrapped by a python spirit because their focus is on the circumstances. But Paul and Silas would not let, they had been beaten, they had been unlawfully thrown in jail. They put them in the inner prison, but it didn't matter because at the midnight hour, they weren't crying and they weren't complaining and they weren't crying out, "Oh God, why have you mistreated us like this?" They started singing hymns and praying. Oh God, praise the God. They praise and they bound their feet, but they didn't bind their hands. And I'm sure they're Paul and Silas are in that dirty prison cell with their hands up. And that python spirit had no effect. Has no effect on you when you're worshiping, by the way. You worship and that python spirit has to release. Boy, I tell you what, this worship today, Angie and worship team, thank you. I needed it. I don't know if you needed it, but I did. And Pastor Sherry sensed the power of the Holy Spirit, especially on that last song. Hey, you know what? I won't go there. But I'll tell you what. God wants to work and move. He wants to release. If you're under the influence of the python spirit, if you can't breathe the breath of God anymore, God wants to release you. Begin to worship. I'm going to finish up here soon. I won't be able to complete this today. But I do want to touch on this, and I think I'll end with this. Back to chapter 6, verse 9 of our scripture today. And again, this is now the third time I've read it, and Sherry read it once. So Moses spoke these words to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen. Good. They didn't listen to Moses on account of their shortness of spirit from the cruel bondage. The word there, shortness of spirit. The shortness is it's called kotser, and it means just what it says, short. Their spirit was short. Now, please don't take this they were short in spirit, like the Holy Spirit living in them. We're not talking about that. The spirit that we're talking about is a decision and a choice. I said moments ago, who are you listening to? I'll just say this: we all have a decision to make. Who we listen to? It's our decision. It's our decision. I can listen to the naysayers. I can listen to anything else, or I can choose to listen to God. And I want to say, I choose to listen to what God says. Short of spirit. So we're talking about that the inner person that has made the decision. It's a spirit. It's a mindset. It's a focus. Saying, God, even if I don't understand it, I believe you. It's choice, but they were short in their spirit. My mom used to say to somebody if they were getting snappy, she would say, "Don't get short with me." Did your mom ever say that? Right? That's what this is talking about. You're short in spirit. You gave up too easy. You started to focus on the wrong things when things got difficult. Shortness of spirit. Your focus isn't on the things of God. In fact, that's what Jesus, when he turned to Peter, when Jesus tells the disciples that I'm going to go to the cross and give my life. Peter says, "Lord, may it never be." He turns to Peter, the rock, the key, the one who God revealed so much things to him. He turns to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you are thinking with the mind of man and not the mind of God." Man. Kotser, it's short, impatient. I would. We don't have time to go there, but it's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 14. this same group of people, it wouldn't be long after this. You know the story that the Exodus would take place. They go into the wilderness, and the people began to complain very early on. And then and Moses says, you know, early on, within the first year or two, he decides, I'm going to get some spies and have them go spy out the land. He decides to get a committee. Boy, when you start forming a committee to determine what color the carpet would be, you're going to be in trouble. Can I tell you that? It is going to, you know, you hear the stories. People, there are more church splits come out of like a committee picking a carpet. Yeah, we're not going to do that. But what I'm saying is that he gets his people and they all go. And they had already been promised. God says, I am going to deliver you. I will give you the land. It's yours. I'll go before you. They go in. They spy it out. They come back. They give a report. You know the story. The vote is 10 to 2. 10 people are terrified. Oh, the people, the Nephilim are there. And we look like grasshoppers. And we probably look like grasshoppers to them. The land is one who consumes its inhabitants. And we should not do it. But these two men, Caleb and Joshua, stand up. They said, we by all means must go and take the land. It is a good land. And if God is with us, we will do it. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen? But you know they were outvoted. They were outspoken. They were shouted down. And so these two people, Joshua and Caleb, and it says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, God's getting ready to judge those unlawful spies, or those disobedient spies, and so he did. He says, but not so with Caleb, my servant. No, bookmark that. You wonder, why didn't it say Caleb and Joshua? Joshua was of the leadership. Caleb was of the people, and I believe that's why he was singled out in that. But the application applies to both Caleb and Joshua. But he singles out Caleb, and he says, but I'm not going to destroy Caleb because there's a different spirit in him, and he has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land. Him and his descendants shall inherit it. He had a different disposition. He had a different mindset. And it's a choice. I'm going to tell you, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But at some point, there's a decision involved whether we're going to believe God or man. It's just a decision we're going to make. Is God in this? And has he got our backs? Or doesn't he? Because if he doesn't, you can't even say the Bible is true, which it is. But I see a different spirit in Caleb. That he believes me. He follows me. In fact, they call it the Caleb and Joshua anointing. You know what that is? That's putting up with unbelievers for 40 years and not losing your patience. Putting up with people who have no faith and have rebellion. They lived in that environment for 40 years, but they did not give up hope ever. They didn't waver. They didn't join the losers. They didn't join those who were not faithful to God. They stayed faithful for 40 years in through that unbelieving generation. Church, are we like that? Even though you could say all around us, even especially in the churches, I see this, I see that. I'm not interested in what we see. I'm interested in who we are. When things get difficult, Psalm 103, verse 2, David says it so beautifully. He uses this word so many times in his writings. But this is one of the ones that are, I think it's so appropriate. David's writing out his heart to God. Chapter 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Forget none of his benefits. He pardons our iniquity. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds. Do not forget his benefits. And the people, the Hebrews, forgot the benefits of God that they had been taught from their early days because they were descendants of Abraham about this God. They knew something about him. But then Moses comes and gives them an update, but they forgot about him. And they're focused on the problems instead of the promise. I'll have to close there. So if you have your Bibles, you can close them. These are interesting days. Indeed, interesting days. I don't know My heart, church, is to bring all of you that are listening, whether on the video or in this room, whoever may hear this, I want to just encourage you with hope. That's one of my responsibilities that God has put it on my heart to let you know it's going to be okay. It is. It's going to be okay. And I think you would say, well, Pastor Don, what if you got sick? What if you got deathly ill? You know what? I don't want to. I don't want to. But you know what? If the Lord takes me home, Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. And you know what? It's funny because Pastor Sherry said about marriage, and it just clicked in my mind when she said that about that passage, and it clicked in my mind what Jesus said to the Sadducees. See, when they ask him about being married in heaven, he says, you don't understand the power of God. You don't understand the scriptures, because in heaven there is no marrying. There is no husband and wife. You're like the angels. And it came to me. Why? Because we are collectively the bride of Christ. We can't be married to two people. So that was good. We are married. And you think, what? Married to Christ? Yes, it's the love relationship. You think of the most loving relationship either you have, or if you don't have one, I think many of you all do, one you would like to have. That's how it is with Christ 1,000 times over. He just wants that love of His people, of His creation. Okay. Worship team, would you please come up? We're going to prepare to close the service. Can you hear me? What are you listening to? What's your foundation? What is your life? Jesus said in the scripture, he says, you know, the foolish man is like the man who builds his house upon the sand. The foolish man builds upon the sand. He said when the storm comes, that house is going to be destroyed. But the wise man, he builds his house upon the rock. And then the storms came and the winds blew, but the house stood. I sang that as a young kid in Sunday school. The wise man built his house upon the rock. If you sang that as a kid, raise your hand at home. I can see you. Yeah, and someone here. I got the magic mirror. Do you remember Romper Room? I can see you at home. By the way, when we're worshiping here, I can see if you're standing or not. I want you to stand and worship when we worship. Praise God, right? Come on, you're going to break off that python spirit. Get out in your living room or wherever you are and praise God with all your might. But the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood firm. Praise God. I'll tell you what. That's good. Well, I'll tell you what. My question to you is Jesus Christ your cornerstone to build your house on? Because if your cornerstone is the stock market, if your cornerstone is the media, if your cornerstone is sports, boy, I'm going to get into this next week. Don't miss this. If you're watching at home, don't miss this. The people that are here, they got to be here. We make them come. But I tell you what, it's going to be good because God is dealing with things in this nation. And I'll be honest with you, I hate to say it, in some ways it's overdue because they have taken our focus off of God and we've made our own idols in our nation. And we're going to talk about some of them next week. Because just as God judged the idols through the plagues, and again, this is where I'm going next week about the plagues because we're undergoing a plague. Do you know that? It's a plague. But God began to judge those spirits of that land and show them that I am the Lord your God. And there is no other. And God is dealing with things in our nation. You look around, and I don't want to give away next week's message too much, but things are falling one by one. The people thought, a brother Gordon called me this week, and he said, hey, did you hear that word by Kent Christmas? Sherry and I listened to it. Sarah and Alan listened to it. And I said, yeah, Brother Gordon, I've listened to it. He's a friend of Phil Capuccio's, and he, every year at the end of the year, he gives a prophetic word on what God has put on his heart. And at the end of 2018, he prophesied that the sports stadiums were going to be empty. And guess what? 2018 came and left, and they weren't empty. But he gave it again this year, and he said something is going to come across the entire globe that men will be sent into a state of confusion. They won't know how to deal with that. He said this, I think it was December of 2019. And then he said, and by the way, God is going to judge sports because they are taking my people away on the Lord's Day. They're taken away from the house of the Lord, and God is going to judge that. And you're going to see stadiums that are empty. He said that in 2018. This year, he didn't say stadiums are empty this year, in 2019, but the concept was the same. And guess what? That's what I see. I see these stadiums that hold 110,000 people on the Lord's Day, and I see the midget football practicing and soccer practicing on Sunday mornings. You know, praise the Lord. Maybe they go to church on Saturday, and some of them have that belief. I hope you're going to church. But the things are taken away from the Lord's day. God is setting the reset button. I told you that March 29th, and I'll say it again. God is setting the reset button. Things are out of line, and he doesn't like it. Are you saying this came from God, Pastor Don? Absolutely not. And I'll say it again. But God is going to use this for his honor and glory. Amen. Mankind has brought this plague upon ourselves. In fact, we find day by day how true that is, don't we? Mankind has done this, and I believe that without question. But God is going to use it for his honor and glory. You watch the outcome. And we're going to talk about that next week because there are difficult things going on, but there's also some amazing things taking place. I want to give you one. I just want to talk about it. Some may say I'm not an environmentalist. I like the environment. Do you know that the air is now cleaner around the world than it's been since they started keeping record of it? Like Los Angeles has clean air. Like what is this? You know, I can see the sky. I can see the stars. Things are taking place that God's. And again, I'm not talking about environment here as much as there's a lot of blessings that are coming out of this that people never expected. Praise the Lord. But Jesus Christ, is he our cornerstone or isn't he? That's what we're going to sing about. We want you to sing with us. If you're home, I really encourage you to stand up and worship. We are worshiping Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. It's Christ alone. My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? That's it. Praise the Lord. Sing with us. Worship with us today. Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone. We trust in His righteousness alone. Faultless, stand before the throne. Christ alone.
Pray with me. God, we thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of all. The Lord of the heavens and the earth, the God of creation, the God of things past, present, and future. Father, we know that you hold all things in your hand and you sustain the universe by your Spirit. So, Father, right now, Father, we say, we hear your voice and we put our trust in you. You are our cornerstone, Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. You are our cornerstone. So, Father, today, God, we thank you for visiting us, whether it's in this place or in so many places that are tuning in. I pray to God, we pray a blessing upon those, Father, who are listening right now, that a spirit of grace, a spirit of courage, a spirit, Father, of a power. You have not given us a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And God, we declare that over each one, dear God, that is hearing your voice today. Father, we bless you, God, as our cornerstone, and thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Before we leave you, one thing I want to bring to your attention is this. It's been on our heart to really enhance the worship time. We hope you're coming back here very soon. We're looking forward to seeing all of your faces. Hopefully, you'll bring some new friends with you. We're looking to enhance our worship technology, and we're looking to possibly put some high-definition televisions back here. There's a number of reasons. One is the lens on our long throw projector is wearing out again. We replaced it a number of years ago. It's quite expensive. We believe our best way to upgrade is not necessarily to replace that, but use it as a backup and upgrade our technology. Having said that, some of you were blessed really just with recently. We're not one of those people yet. I don't know what's going on. But you got a check in the mail, and you say, Lord, I have a gift I want to take off of that. I want to use something for that. And I want to say, we're going to set up, I'm going to ask Deb if she'll help us track those gifts and giving to a technology fund. We didn't quite have it set up online yet. We'll endeavor to get that done. But if you feel led to do that, please make an offering to that. But once again, as you're giving, please continue to give. Our needs financially have not really changed. And I want to say thank you, because you've been so faithful, by the way. Things are going so well behind the scenes. The only thing that's missing is us actually gathering together again. It's going to be soon, right? Praise God. So it's good. Okay, listen, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for joining us once again. Technology and support team, thank you so much. Worship team, you guys and girls are amazing. Thank you, and we love you all at home. We just pray that you have a blessed week. Whose voice are you listening to? Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We love you. We love you.